So I have said before that one of the greatest privileges that I have as a pastor is that I get to, from time to time, share the pulpit with people who have meant a great deal in my life. And this morning is absolutely no different. For those of you that don't know, I really would not be here this morning if it wasn't for Pastor Clarence St. John. Him and I met and we talked, and he agreed with me that this might be a good idea. And as the superintendent, he started looking into it, and here I am. We have been blessed to have Clarence St. John as the superintendent of the Minnesota district for the last 28 years. And what you guys may not know is under his leadership, the Minnesota district has become the best district for the Assemblies of God in the United States. And I say that not just because I'm a pastor here, but because I talk to pastors in other districts and they talk about stuff that's going on, and that stuff doesn't happen here. The pastors don't get treated like that here. That kind of stuff just does not go on. We have a leadership team that keeps their eyes focused on the Lord, keeps their eyes focused on what the Word of God says, and they lead us accordingly. And all I can say is Mark Dean has really big shoes to fill. You have left a footprint that's going to be very hard to follow. So, everybody, welcome our superintendent, Clarence St. John.
Well, I have good news for Mark. He doesn't have to fill my shoes because I'm taking them with me. So that's good. Hey, isn't your worship team a blessing? Amen. I watched them not sing. I watched them worship. And they were touching the Lord, and it's wonderful to be here this morning. I have some great memories. When I was a youth pastor over in Brooklyn Center, one of my friends was in this church, and so I've kind of known a little bit of the history of the church since the 60s. Most of you weren't born then. It's okay. But it's really fun to see what the Lord is doing in the church today. Your church has been had some great years, but I believe the best years of the church are still ahead of us, and God is going to continue to use you, and we praise the Lord for what he's doing. Pastor James Allen, in my beginning years while I was still pastoring, youth pastor over at Brooklyn Center, gave me an opportunity to join him for 10 weeks in the summer. 5 weeks he was there, 5 weeks he went to be with his father who was passing away in New York. And he became a strong leader in my life, a mentor, a coach. And I got to spend some time with him. He didn't tell me when I went down there that I would have to preach at a Reformed church and at his church and work for the undertaker and do something at the fair and go door to door and fold a And went to every house in Fulda. And he was a relentless leader. And he had something to do for me, you know, 24 hours a day almost. But it was a great learning experience for me. And what's neat is in September, a church is being started in Fulda where I went to every house in town, gave them an evangel, invited them out to the church. Services that we were having in a storefront. So Pastor Allen, who was here for many years, is kind of a mentor and a special friend in my life. And I just been a, you know, his daughter Linda has now become on staff down at Evangel. And I was down there last week, so it's fun. Pastor Troy, ministering at Summit Avenue for years with no pay, just giving, tirelessly working for the Lord. And then the pastor was led to go down to Lionel Lakes to be with pastor there. But we were looking for a full-time pastor to be here, and we started to talk. And I talked to Pastor Ed. I said, Pastor Ed, we're talking to Troy, because he was down there in Lana Lakes. And I said, we never, some people say, you mean you'd take someone that's doing a good job in a church over here and have them come to another church? No, we just share with them the opportunity, and when God keeps them up at night, it's not our fault. And so Pastor had to drive by here every day. Isn't it neat how the Lord orders our days? And while he was driving by here, the Lord put this place on his heart, and the rest is history. And thank you for your leadership in our men's department and in other parts of our district. You're a wonderful leader, and it's fun to see how God gets a hold of us and God directs our life. And someone said one time, the superintendent is coming. It's going to share a lot of statistics, and it's going to be boring. Well, I don't want to disappoint anyone, so I want to share a few statistics that are really exciting for me. I was just down at General Council this week for the Executive Presbyter meeting and found out some new things that are happening in the assemblies. And you know, they say that we started 102 years ago. But it says in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, that God was with the assembly of God's people in the wilderness. So I'm not sure when we started for sure. I was hoping you'd get the joke, just in case you think I'm serious. But anyway, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, 102 years ago, 300 people gathered, and they said, we're going to do two things. We're going to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. We're going to be a missionary sending movement. And so those 300 people now are 68 million all over the world, 68 million Assembly of God people. And United Nations is in 197 countries. The Assemblies of God is in 255 countries, territories, and provinces. The reason we can do that is we have 2,750 missionaries, and we've gone to all those countries. 96 of those countries are now sending missionaries around the world. Those 96 countries are sending 4,500 missionaries. They're like our children are sending missionaries. Some of them are even coming here. And so we're excited about that. For the last 27 years, the Assemblies of God is the only movement in America that has been growing every single year. Listen to this. Every 45 seconds, someone comes to Jesus around the world, because the church is still working. And missionaries are working through TV, radio, all kinds of the networks. And so every 49 minutes, a new church is planted in the world. And every 49 minutes, a new clergyman is added to the ranks. And so just want to say thank you. Since 1990 in Minnesota, we planted 180 new churches here. And every day in Minnesota, nothing happens in our office. Everything happens in the local church. And every day last year, 45 people got saved. Every day, 5 were filled with the Holy Spirit, and 6 were baptized in water every day. And so I'm thankful. I just heard this week that we have more morning worship. Just got the statistics on Tuesday. More in morning worship than ever before. More in small groups than ever before. More have been filled with the Holy Spirit last year than ever before. More were baptized in water, and more came to Christ through Assembly of God works all over the United States. And so it's working. Church still works. And so, you know, people try to help us. And so I have a little phrase for you, because, you know, leaders are supposed to always be up. We're always supposed to have a good day every day. Pastor, you're supposed to have a good day every day. So people ask me sometimes, how are you feeling? And I said, well, I feel more like I do now than when I came. Just kind of get out of the question, you know, that way. And then some say, how are you doing? I said, well, terrible. And they say, good, because they don't listen. Well, maybe they do. And terrible. And they say, how come? I said, well, kind of depressed. What's the problem? No one's naming their kids after me. I mean, I'm the last Clarence. There are no more. So anyway, I'm going to make it, though, because I'm following Jesus. You know, no matter what state we're in, if we follow him, we make it. We have ups and downs. We have good days and bad days. We have mountaintops and valleys. But we have our hand in the hand of the Lord. And he's alive and well. And he's working in your life. And he loves you. And he has a plan for you. So I have this question. Why are you here? I'm not talking about Lexington church location right here. You know, some teenager would say, well, my mom made me come. You know, but I haven't told the pastor this, but I was brought up on drugs. I was drugged to Sunday school, drugged to morning worship, drugged to Wednesday night, drugged to Sunday night, and it worked out okay for me. But some of you have been drugged to church. Church helps us. And sometimes we fight it, but sometimes we need it. We always need it. I thank the Lord for what God did for me. And I was saved at the altar. I was filled with the Holy Spirit at the altar. I was called to preach at the altar. We're people of the altar. And so why are you here? Why are you alive? Why does God have you in life? Why are you in your family? Why are you in your neighborhood? Why? I believe we're here to make an eternal impression and impact on the people that we touch. I believe the Lord put you in your job so you could reach your friends there. I believe the Lord put you in your neighborhood so you could make an impact. We aren't here by accident. We aren't here without any reason. We all have a reason. We all have a purpose. And God is using you in your neighborhood. Your smile helps people. Your personality helps people. And so God has put us here to make an impact. So you are here to touch your world. That's a privilege. And so all of you have a calling from the Lord and to make an eternal impact. What did God have in mind when he had asked you to be a part of this? We're supposed to reach the lost generation that touches our life. So we're here for eternal reasons, not just to pick up a check and come to a service every once in a while. We're here for eternal reasons. There are people that you're the only one they know that knows Jesus. So it's a privilege to, we have a pastor's masters where we go and golf once a year. People say, are you a golfer? I said, yes, I golf every year one time. This is my favorite course. I only go there once a year. But the guy that sponsored me for the last 13 years doesn't know Jesus yet. But every year, as we talked and rode in that cart, we talked more and more about the Lord. And last summer, he went on a missions trip. And I mean, I believe I did golf 13 times with someone that doesn't know the Lord because I was supposed to touch him. You know what? He came to my celebration, and he said to me, "The golfing experience I have every year is my highlight of the year." Because something should happen when we touch people with the love of Jesus. And God is using you. I believe with all my heart, God is using you to make an impact. And are you doing what God called you to do? We're not just talking about... I believe everyone in this room has a calling. And God, are you doing what God called you to do? And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. I'm going to have a message with 3 points. If it's longer than 3 points, I can't even remember it. So I want you to think about, I'd like you to take one thought home today. What's in your head? I was in a church, a teenager bumped his friend, said nothing, you know. But they just abuse each other, so you can't pay much attention to that. But what's in your head? What's in your hand, and what's in your heart? We're going to talk about those 3 things today, and I believe the Lord's going to use some of that to touch you. And so if you have your Bibles, we can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I want to talk about something that most people have never heard of, David and Goliath. And most sermons on David and Goliath are you know, we all do our own version of it. But I want to talk to you this morning about the things that God used in David's life that all of us have in our own lives. And so I'll just tell you the introduction for a little bit of how the story was set. Saul, the Bible said that Saul, the king, had a spirit of depression that came on him because he moved away from the Lord. You know, once we know the Lord, we have to stay close to him because things are best when we're close to him. But Saul had a depressing spirit come to him, so he looked across the nation to try to find someone that could play music to lift the spirit. And he asked Jesse in the 16th chapter if David could come and play his harp in the palace. So David, if we get the little setting, David would go to the palace when the king was there. If a depressing spirit came on him, he would pray. I think it's in verses 23 and 24 in the 16th chapter. He would play, and the Bible said that Saul's spirit would be lifted when music comes. That's why we sing. Music lifts our spirit. And so, but then when the king wasn't in the palace, David would go back home and take care of his father's sheep. Well, as this story begins, Israel and the Philistines were in battle. They were at war. The United States is at war all the time, but we don't get to walk to the battle. We can't take a horse and get there or a donkey because it's always hopefully somewhere else. Or wish it was never any place. But anyway, Israel was at war, and David's father, Jesse, said, "I want his three older brothers were in the arm, or in the what we would call the army." And so he went. He said, "I want you to go see how your brothers are doing, and see how the battle is going, and bring me back a report." Well, when he gets there, in the 17th chapter, we see while he's there, Goliath comes out in the 24th verse. And David's, let me just ask you this. Have you ever had one of your heroes disappoint you? Isn't that disgusting? I mean, we look up to him. We believe in him. We trust him. Well, Saul and David's three brothers, when Goliath comes out, the Bible says that all of Israel runs and hides. All the army runs and hides. David looked up to his three brothers and the king, and he comes to the battle, and they're supposed to be fighting against the enemy. And the Bible says for 40 days, morning and night, 80 times Israel ran away from the giant. And David comes and says, "What's going on? This guy is defiling the armies, the God of heaven and our armies, and we run away from him." And he said, David asked the question, "Who is this giant anyway? What's going on? How come everybody's running away from him? What's the problem?" What happens to the person that kills them? That's a bold question. What happens to the person that kills the giant? You know, he actually asked that question three times in about five or six verses, and they told him the same thing every time. You know what they said? "He'll become rich." How many would like? It's really not safe to become real rich because these guys that win $1 million, it ruins their life. But anyway, we'd like to have a little more money, wouldn't we? How many would like to be richer than you are? Okay. How many would like to be tax exempt? Wow. How many would like to marry the king's daughter? Oh, I'll take two out of three. I haven't seen her yet. I'm going to marry. I tell you, when I was a youth pastor, I got invited over to Sunday dinner because I was single to a parent's house that had a lady in their house that they thought I might want to, you know, date her. Well, I want to choose my own girlfriend. You know, I mean, just kind of obnoxious that way. I was kind of strong that way. I'll choose my own. Well, so three things that could happen if you killed the giant. And so his brother said, you his oldest brother said, "You brat, what are you down here for? You just have the wrong attitude. You're just a, you know, putting your nose in where it doesn't belong all the time." Because David was chosen over all the others to be king when Saul came to their home. So there was always a little tension there. And he said, "What have I done? Isn't there a cause?" It says in verse number 29. He said to the king, "Let no man's heart fail him, because I'm going to go kill him." So let's go back and look at the story a little bit. That's kind of a little bit of a review. But in what was in David's head? What was in his head? Saul said, "Well, you can't fight against him. You're just a youth, and he's been a leader. He's been a man of battle since his youth." But David said in verse number 29, "Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? What have I done? Is there not a cause?" And so the king says, "What makes you think that you can take on the giant?" I just want to say this. How many have things in your life that are bigger than you? We all have stuff that are... And this was bigger than David. Bigger than David. And we have things bigger than us. We also have people that say, "Oh, you can't do that." I don't know if you've ever had anyone say that to you, but being German, when people say that to me, I say, "You want to make a bet?" I mean, it just kind of disgusts us, doesn't it? When people don't think we can do it. But some people grow up and they don't think they can do anything because they've been told that all their life. Well, I want to come against that in the name of Jesus, because God has a plan for everybody. And no one's a loser in the eyes of Jesus. We're all winners. We're all winners. There we go. Two amens. Well, I understand. This is Minnesota. We don't yell and shout that much, so it's okay. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm okay. I love the way. Anyway, David said, I like this, in verse number 34. I actually took a pencil and shaded the word "used to." He said, "I used to keep my father's sheep like yesterday. But today I'm going to kill a giant." What are some of the things you used to do? Let's turn the page. I used to be over here helping my dad with the sheep. But dad sent me here, and God said, "Today I'm going to kill a giant." And the king says, "What makes you think you can kill a giant?" Now, this is what I want you to think. What's in your head? In our head can be our victories from yesterday. Every person in this room has had a spiritual victory from yesterday. We have something that we've conquered. We were lost and going to hell. Now we're saved and going to heaven. And so we are on a new page. And he said, "I used to keep my father's sheep, and a lion came and a bear came. And I ran after the lion, and the bear and the lion took a sheep out of the flock, took a lamb out of the flock. I ran after it. I grabbed it." And I don't want to read all these verses for you, but it's David said, "I ran after it." Here we go. And verse 37, he said, I grabbed it by its beard. I killed the lion and the bear. And he said, the same God that gave me the victory over the lion and the bear is going to give me the giant. What are your victories from yesterday? Every morning when I pray, I kneel down and I thank the Lord for my victories from yesterday. That's what should be in our head. Let's start our day with the victories from yesterday. And so I have this, what's in your head, your victory from yesterday? When I became a pastor up in Hibbing, the church had closed three times, and I went up there to reopen the church. Good people had been pastoring there, and we had 11 people, and the question came, what makes you think you can pastor this church, you know? And so I was invited to come down here and do a missions convention, so I took I said, I'm going to take a picture of the church. So I opened the doors of the church. We just painted it. Opened the doors of the church and took a picture. And I was going to take that down and say the church doors of Hibbing are open again. When I took the picture, the Holy Spirit said, I have set before you an open door, and no man can close it. This church isn't going to close again. So when Vicki and I would go through deep valleys, I would just have in my head the victory from the Lord said, this church isn't going to close again. So I would hang on to some verses from yesterday that were my victory points. And I want to challenge you in your journey. Take some victory points that you have and have that be what's in your head every day of your life. I won before with Jesus. I'm going to win again. Second thing is, what's in your heart? What's in your hand? You know, it was in David's hand. It says in David's hand had a staff, he had a sling, and he had a stone. That's what he had in his hand. David was a marksman. If he was going to take a shot at that light, that exit light over there, he would not shoot at the light. He would shoot at the middle E, the middle of the E, because he was a marksman, and there was no challenge for him to just shoot at the light. He would shoot at the smallest part of the light because he knew he could hit it because he was gifted in that. And so David was a gifted marksman. What are you good at? What are your gifts? Every person, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 7, 7, we're going to get to that in your journey through Corinthians here in a couple of weeks. 1 Corinthians 7, 7, the Bible says every person has gifts from God. Every person in this room is gifted from the Lord. Now, don't try talking during the sermon next Sunday. But today I'm going to ask you to talk to each other for just a minute. I want you to think about, what am I good at? What do I love to do? What am I gifted at? What can I actually do with confidence? And David was a marksman, and God said, I want to use your marksman ability to kill the giant. I want to use what you can do well. And so what is your gift? Or what are your gifts? And I want you to tell someone close to you, and we're not going to take attendance and see if anybody did it and grade you or anything. But tell the person close to you what you're good at. I know you could say playing the piano. That's what you could say. You could say playing the piano for one thing. Okay. So what are you good at? Hey, I like that when someone that's engaged is telling each other what they're good at. I like that. Listen to each other. Okay. You are good at something. Maybe you're a mechanic. Maybe you're good at hospitality. Maybe you're a good cook. Maybe you're a seamstress. You know what God wants to do? He wants to use what you're good at for His glory. So He said to David. So David, I just love to use this little thought. How many of you have ever thrown a stone at a Coke can on top of a fence post? Wow. Two of us. Three of us. I mean, that, you have missed out. I mean, this is fun. And, you know, if you, I've tried to throw like 100 times and you can hit it if you just stay with it. David would not, his shot would not be at the can. He would take the C. He would pick out, because he was a marksman. So the Lord used David's gifts, and then He anointed it. You see, the Lord wants to take what we're good at and anoint it and use it to touch our world. So what's in your hand? What's in your head? Victories from yesterday. You got positive things in your head. Every morning when I pray about the positive things that God has helped me do. I thank Him for it because I want to start my day on a positive note. So what's in your head? Victories from yesterday. What's in your hand? The things that you're good at. We can do well with our gifts, with our victories from yesterday and with our gifts. So just don't be somebody else. Knock it off. Just be yourself. It's fun being yourself. It's fun being yourself. Amen. It's just... my problem. I had an illustration there, but I better go on. What's in your heart? The dream that David had, the passion that he had, the vision that he had, I'm going to kill a giant. Whoa. I would like to have the Lord put in my heart something bigger than me that I could do for him. Have the Lord put something in your heart that you can't do on your own, and then believe for him to help you do. David couldn't kill a giant on his own, not even with his gifts. It had to be anointed by the Lord, directed by the Spirit. And you only have this much space to shoot from a distance. And bingo, God will help us. God is expecting you to use your victories from yesterday and your giftings so you can dream with him about what you're going to do next. And so what are you? David said to the giant, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. He said, God sent me. I just want you to think about this. God sent you. God sent you to the United States. God sent you to Minnesota. God sent you to this church. And God sent you to the community that you're in, the family that you're in, sent by God to do something special for him. And so today the Lord will deliver you into my hands, he told the giant, before it happened. Excuse me. What victory do you need to have God help you with right now? God has a dream for everyone's life. God has a dream for me. Do I have like 4 or 5 more minutes? Okay. Hope that'll stay there. when I left North Central, no girls wanted me. I tried to get a church, and no churches wanted me because no girls wanted me. They said, yeah, we don't want a single pastor, you know. And so then I told the district that I would start a church in Hibbing. I felt called to Hibbing, definitely called to Hibbing. And they said, we've been up there so many years and so many times, and we spent 8 out of 10 churches on the Iron Ranger on home missions. We're not spending any more money up there. And so they said, no. So being a single, actually, I got the letter when I was with Dr. Allen down in Slayton. Got the letter. You're not going to Hibbing. And it would have felt easier if they had just cut my heart out, because my heart was in Hibbing already, and I couldn't go. I remember getting the letter. I remember driving back. It was, why do you get news like that on a stormy day? I know. And so it was raining out. I'm driving back to Minneapolis, and it's raining on the outside, raining on the inside. I'm a bachelor. I'm supposed to be tough, but I was broken. And I was driving down the road, and here's how bad it was. I'm going to just dial the radio. Maybe I'll find some gospel music. It won't hurt me any. that's how bad it can get sometimes, you know. So here I am dreaming about a church that I can't go to. But what is in your heart? If something's in your heart and you're German, half German, or determined or stubborn, okay? So I'm not going to give up. So I'm driving back, and I thought, if I miss God that much, I could never be in the ministry. So I'm going to take my credentials, go to St. Cloud. Take my transcripts, go to St. Cloud, see if I could transfer some credits, because I love people. I want to spend my time with. Maybe I could go into counseling or something. So I'm driving down the road, and Revival Time Choir comes on. Revival Time Choir doesn't mean anything to most of you, but it was an Assembly of God program that was on forever. And I hadn't listened to it forever. Revival Time Choir comes on, and I turn it on. And I listened to the music, and I listened to the message. I don't even know what the CM Ward said, but I know this. At the end, he said, there's a great altar across the United States from coast to coast. You don't have to be in church to be at an altar. God can speak to you any place. And I'm driving down the road, deciding to leave the ministry. And C.M. Ward says, there's an altar from coast across America, and the Lord has spoken to me to pray for some young preacher that's contemplating leaving the ministry tonight. I hadn't listened to Revival Time for 6 years. You know what I thought? There are 500 Assembly of God pastors wanting to leave the ministry tonight. That's not for me. You know what the Holy Spirit said? The Holy Spirit said, this was taped 6 weeks ago. You haven't listened to Revival Time for 6 years. Don't you think I know where you are and what you're doing? God always knows where we are and what we're doing. Whether we're in a valley or whether on the mountaintop, the Lord knows where we are and what we're doing. So I started to cry and apologize and say, Lord, if you want me to do this, I will do it. 11 months later, I was in Hibbing with Vicky, who I was engaged to, and we went in to look at the church. I won't tell you the story, but I put my Bible on the pulpit because the district said, well, go up there. Maybe you can pray more intelligently about it. Doesn't mean you're going to get to go. And so I put my Bible on the pulpit, and it would, if I was standing where you guys are, it would have been the back of the church, just a little church. And I said, Lord, if you let me preach here, I'll preach salvation from this pulpit every week. I preached salvation for 7 years and no one came forward, but I'm German. When it started, it was like a deluge, like we just saw. Once it started, I said, if you let me, in fact, the last 3 years we had more than one a day saved. And so I said, if you let me preach, I'll preach your baptism of the Holy Spirit. The last 2 years we had two every week filled with the Holy Ghost. If you let me preach, I'll preach divine healing. We had some great healings. And if you let me preach, I'll tell the church that you're coming again. And the Lord worked it out for Vicky and I. Within 6 weeks, I was starting the church. And I just want to say to you, what has God put in your heart? You see, the Lord put that in my heart. So I had experiences from yesterday in my head. I had a few gifts. I don't want to say I have a lot of gifts, but I had a few gifts in my hand because everybody has gifts. Everyone in here has gifts. And God put a dream in my heart. So I went after my dream. And the rest is history. The Lord let Vicky and I be there 21 years. A great victory every year. And so, I would just guess that you know All to Jesus I Surrender. Do you know that one? Why don't you play that for us? Isn't that fun to be able to just pick on somebody and they say yes? Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand together and sing All to Jesus I Surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I put you on the spot, didn't I? You actually like to be put on the spot. That's okay. Okay, so while she's getting ready, I'm not just going to walk out of here without challenging you, because I work too hard at how this could work for you. But I'd like you to think, I'm gifted, but I haven't really been using my gifts the way God would like me to. I'm gifted, and I haven't even admitted I'm gifted. You know, maybe some of those thoughts go through our hearts. I can do something kind of outside the church, but in the church I don't really use that for the Lord. So I just want us to come and stand at the altar, and I want to have Pastor pray for you. But I think the Lord is talking to us about using our gifts, using our calling, using our position better for Him. Let's sing it together. Most of you know it, some of you don't, but let's go. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. Listen to this. I surrender all. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Now when I gave an invitation for 7 years and no one came forward, I still kept doing it. I think the Lord has talked to all of us. Could we have like almost everyone just gather around the altar and say, Lord, speak to me about how you want to help me be more what you want me to be. I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I just love it. There's something that happens at the altar. Something that happens at the altar. Now, of course, if you don't come, it doesn't mean anything negative. But I want us to sing it again with all of our hearts. And tell the Lord what you're singing. Okay? So we try it again. Hallelujah. All to Jesus I surrender you my gifts. All to you I free. You can have my gifts, my life, my talent. I will ever love and trust him in his presence day. I surrender all. Sing it with all your heart. I surrender. You can have all of me, Jesus. Surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. It's not our mission. It's not our mission to embarrass anyone. If I made some of you feel uncomfortable, I apologize. But I'm passionate about what Jesus called me to do. Thank you for being here and responding, Pastor Cole.
Lord, thank you so much for who you are and what you're doing in our lives, Lord. Send your Holy Spirit to seek our souls. Dig through those things that we have forgotten that are gifts that you have given us. Those things that have laid unused, maybe for years, maybe for decades, Lord. Kindle them. Kindle them. Bring them to light. Fan them to flame today. Lord, that we would lay them at your feet, that they would be used in your glory, for your glory, in your service. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for the way that you use us. And thank you that none of us are forgotten, that you have something for all of us to do, that you have put all of us here for a reason, that you have brought us all here, Lord, to do your will in this place, to reach this place. And we will continue using our gifts, using our talents that you have given us, using the things that you have put in our heart to serve you. Lord, we lay everything down at your feet. We lay it all at your feet, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name. This is dismissal if you have to go, but it's by no means saying you have to. The altars will remain open.